Okay. How many of you guys know what it means to walk in something, like to walk in the light or walk in the truth or to walk in defiance? Well, that's not a positive one, is it? How many of you guys can walk in defiance? Can anybody show me walking in defiance? Can you come up and show us? Oh, hold on. Let's let Chris do it. Come on, just walk across in defiance. In defiance? To defy someone or something, I mean, to go against. Yeah, defiance. Defiance. You don't know how? Okay, sit back down. Dominic, you want to come walk up, walk in defiance for us? Why don't I show you? You walk like in Greece, in the movie Greece. Okay, well, so what does it mean to walk in the truth? Andrew? To believe in God? Okay, that's part of it. What does it mean to walk, Ellie? What does it mean to walk in the truth? What? I can't hear you. To tell the truth? Yes, that would be part of it. Okay. What about walking in the light? What about walking in the light? What does it mean to walk in the light? Yes, Brianna. No. Not walk into the light. Walk in the light. Yes. Walk with Jesus, okay? Well, let's get, what does it mean to walk in something? What is it, for you adults, we hear this all the time, and we read it in Scripture all the time. What does it mean to walk in something? Do you guys know what it means to walk? You're not just walking with an attitude on your face, or looking a particular way, or doing this, you know, from whatever, I don't know. It means that you live that way. You make certain choices. So, but that's not always easy, is it? It's not always easy to make those choices and to do those things. In fact, what? Because they're walking. Actually, if you take it, if Miss Francine takes it off of, there's some text. No, go back. I like to do certain things with my families are here. My parents are here this morning, so I'm going to show that van in a minute. But walk in hope. That's the title this morning, is to walk in hope. So that's the walk sign from the streets. You know, when we're walking across the street at a light, and they have the walk, don't walk. Well, some of them have pictures like that. Okay, so that's what that's there for, is to so we can think about walking. You still have to hold hands. You know what? That's a good illustration, is holding hands, especially when you're walking across the street. Why do we do that? So we can be
safe.
Very good. Okay. My problem was choosing defiance instead of safety. I should have chosen that as the... Okay, just a minute. So I want to do something. I want to sing a song. How many of you guys, and this is everybody, I expect everybody to participate, because I think, honestly, the adults like this song more than the kids do. How many of you know this little light of mine? All right, can you sing it with me? Let's all sing it together. I'm going to lead this, okay? I'm going to let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. What's the next verse? Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. There's another verse. What's the next verse? Adults only. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let... Okay, everybody, shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Okay. Why does that verse have Satan in it? Ooh, I'm a little loud there. Let me turn that... Get that turned down. Yes, Ellie. Well, Satan's not sin, but Satan can tempt us to sin. Peter says that Satan prowls around like a lion, ready to devour. So Satan is sneaking through the grasses and he's hiding and he's just waiting for the prey to come by so that he can jump out and get you. So Satan is working and he's looking for ways to tempt us. He's looking for ways to keep us from walking the way God wants us to walk, living the way God wants us to live. And so we don't want to let Satan interfere with what God has. I want you guys to try something. We have just a little bit of space here. I want for a couple volunteers. I was going to have you spin around on bats and then walk, but I didn't want you to run your forehead into a corner. So we're not going to do that. I need a couple volunteers to go backwards, to move backwards, hopping on one foot. Who thinks they can do that? All right. We're gonna let Andrew do it, and we're gonna let Adeline do it. Okay, start over here. Pull your feet in, please. Pull your feet in. Start right here and face that door over there. Face that door, and watch out for each other. And you're gonna try and move backwards, hopping on one foot. Can you do that? Okay, is that hard, Adeline? Yeah, it's hard. Andrew, how easy was that? Was that easy or hard? It was easy for you? Does anybody else want to try it? Chris, I'll let you try it. Stand up, try it. Ellie, go ahead. Ellie and Chris, go ahead. Face that door. Move backwards, hopping on one foot. Okay, guys, is that easy or hard? Chris, was that easy or hard? Hard? Okay. So for some of you it was easier, for some of you it was harder. Now I want two other volunteers to just walk across. Anderson, you and Dominic. You and Dominic. Come sit down. Yeah, just walk across. Go give Miss Shirley a high five or something. That was for Anderson, Dominic. Okay, was that easy or hard, Anderson? Whatever. Anderson, was that easy? It was a lot easier to walk seeing where you're going and to be aware of what's around you. Now, I didn't want you guys to get hurt, so I didn't have you move through an obstacle course or anything difficult. We're not outside in the grass or something like that. But when Satan tempts us and when we let the world come into our lives and when we are living for ourselves, what happens is we begin to walk we aren't walking in Jesus, we aren't walking in God's truth or his light, and it's harder for us. It's harder for us to do what God asks us to do. I want to read from Colossians chapter 2. Verse 1, Paul writes, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Okay, so Paul wants them to know Jesus and grow in knowing Jesus so that they can be firm in their faith. But then he continues. He says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Okay, continue to live in him. You know what that means? When we say the walk in something, that means to live in that way. It means the things you do day in and day out, you're living in that. So Paul says, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. All right, Francine, go ahead and put the van up. This is a Volkswagen Vanagon. And it's not exactly like, but it's awfully close to the one we had growing up. When I was a young kid, we had a Volkswagen van again. And this one's actually in much better shape because by the time we got rid of it, the one front corner was all dented in and the headlight would highlight like people's windows and street signs, things like that. And in the side there, in the if you kind of look back on the side, there was a big dent and gash in that. But you know, the van could take a beating and just keep going. It was beaten and abused. There were four kids, three boys, and other cars just ran into it and it just kept going. In fact, the last one I was driving, and the one in the side, the big dent in the side, I was driving, and my next door neighbor in another, he lived next door to us, but we were both in another neighborhood, and he backed into me, and completely damaged all sorts of things on his vehicle. The wheels were all messed up, and did all sorts of other damage to his vehicle, and our vehicle. I just kept driving, I just kept going. That van was fantastic. In fact, I cried when it died. I've said this before. I literally cried when it died. You've done that before? So, it was. We don't have it anymore. I killed it. That's another story. That's someone else's van. Ours was a lot like that, okay? They're trying to give me a message. Put it back up, Francine. I didn't see it. Excuse me. Oh, the Scooby-Doo mystery van. Oh, it's a little bit different than the Scooby-Doo mystery van. Yeah, unfortunately or unfortunately, we've given the sound booth the ability to give us messages, and so. Okay, so that van was able to withstand a lot from either side, and actually it was from either side. That van was able to withstand a lot. It was sturdy, it was strong, it was able to do that. And that's what Paul is wanting for these Christians. He wants these Christians, even the ones he hasn't met, he wants them to be able to withstand other stuff coming along. So, you know, we could have one of you guys move backwards, hopping on one foot, and if I came up to you and just pushed on you gently, you'd have to put your other foot down, and you may even fall. You want to try it? No, you don't. Ellie, you don't want to try that, do you? You want? All right, we'll try it. We'll illustrate this. Who wants to hop backwards on one foot and have me push them? Who? Ellie? Ellie, come on up. No, Ellie said she wanted to do it. So walk backwards or move backwards, hopping on one foot. No, sit down. Okay, stop. We are going to, when we are walking in the way God wants us to, God wants us, Jesus wants us to be strong. He wants us to be able to withstand the things coming at us, and he wants us to be able to continue to live the way that Jesus teaches us to live, even when all of those other things are going on around us. Even when we are tempted, even when we are hurt, even when we have difficulty, even when we struggle. And so God wants us to be able to live the way Jesus teaches us, even... Oh, come on. Now you guys are just messing with me. That was not mine, by the way. That was all them. I did not put that up there. That was not me. Okay, you can go back on our main slide. That's fine. Okay, so Paul is writing and he says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. We don't have time this morning, but I want to encourage you to read the book of James. I want you to read all of the book of James and read it kind of as a sermon. Okay, imagine not falling asleep during it, but imagine James is preaching this message, and this whole message goes together in the book of James. And the message, what the message says is what Paul desires for the people here, and that is to grow to maturity in Jesus Christ and live that way. Not just in what they understand, not just in what they believe, but to actually practice it, to do it. To be able to walk without other things pushing you over. To be able to, you know, just like a little toddler growing up, and as they learn to walk, at first they stumble all the time. Okay, that's why their bottoms are so soft. And to be able, but as they learn and as they grow to maturity, they're more stable and steady on their feet. And as they continue to grow, they're able then to move more easily and more agilely. And they're able to escape your grasp when you go to reach them for them to stop them from whatever they're doing. You know, they're able to do those things and move that. That was a joke, by the way. They're able to move better as they grow up. We are better able to live the way Jesus wants us to live as we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, the book of James is like an entire sermon dealing just with that. I tricked the teenagers this morning into two sermons today. This one and then the entire book of James. Yeah, it's like you guys got two sermons. In James, James says that when we obey God, he doesn't phrase it this way. He says, when we obey God, we are blessed. How many of you have ever prayed that God would bless you, or that God would provide for you, that God would protect you, that God would do something good for you? Have you ever prayed that God would do something good for you? Yes. We pray that, and James says that sometimes when we pray, we don't actually believe that God will work, and even when we do believe it, there are times when we pray when we don't get what we ask for because we're asking with wrong motives. We're asking for ourselves. We're asking for our own pleasure. This is an attitude. It's not just like any one individual prayer. This is a general attitude where I'm living for myself. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm making the choices that I want to make. And James says that those choices lead to death. Those choices of sin and those choices of selfishness and those choices of bitterness and unforgiveness and judgmentalism and all of those choices lead to death. But when we obey God, we receive blessing. One of my friends recently described it this way. They said that forgiveness comes from grace. Forgiveness comes from grace. So the songs we sang this morning, the communion devotional that we had and partaking in communion, we are celebrating God's grace and our forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and it is freely given. It is something that God did for us through His Son Jesus. Forgiveness comes from grace. But blessing, and maybe not but, blessings in our lives come from obedience. Blessings are the result of living the way God wants us to live. Blessings are the result of walking in Christ. Now, a lot of us, and a lot of our friends, and a lot of our families, we have times where we really struggle, where we really are having a difficult time with what's going on in our lives. We get depressed, we get upset, we doubt, we fear, and then we make choices that are self-indulgent, as James says. We make choices that are not obedient to God. We don't do the right thing. We don't live the way God wants us to live. And so what happens is we end up walking in despair. Do you guys know what despair is? It's kind of a grown-up word, isn't it? Oh, yeah, okay. Despair, to walk in despair. Any grown-ups want to come up here and show us what it looks like to walk in despair? No? It's where you don't have hope. Hopelessness. It's where you can't see how something's going to work out or turn out. And so because you can't see that, you've lost hope in that situation. It is like the worst feeling ever. And a lot of our community lives in despair. A lot of Christians even live in despair because they are not walking in Christ. They are walking in self-indulgence. The sermon title this morning is Walk in Hope. And part of the message of Colossians that Paul preaches is that our hope is Christ in us. Our hope is that we are united with Christ. Our hope is that we spend eternity with Christ. Our hope is Christ. Jesus, relationship with Him. So if we want to be able to walk in hope, not in despair, there's only one way to do that. And that's by walking, by living in faith in Christ. That means the choices we make every time we take a step, we are doing it in obedience to Christ. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission. We use it to talk about telling our friends and our neighbors about Jesus Christ. And you know, it's a command for us to do that. And right now we've got the flyers on the back table for the My Hope America Billy Graham. It's going to be on TV the first week of November, and we want you to write a list of your friends on there that need Jesus, that you can be praying for them and praying for opportunities to share Jesus with them. And then we're going to use that week to share Jesus with as many of our friends and neighbors as we can. Okay, we use Matthew 28, 18 through 20 to talk about that. But the command is go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's next? Oh, come on. More than Jenny knows this. Teaching them to what? To obey everything I have commanded. Oh, I think we need to read this. Francine, could you get that? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And I just want you to put it up. Jesus, as he's leaving, he gives this command to his disciples to make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. That is how we walk in hope. That is how we walk in Christ. When we are obedient to Jesus Christ, we grow in our relationship with Him. We grow in our understanding of His love for us. We grow in our wisdom and knowledge of Christ and His of His glory, but of His work in our lives. This is how we walk in hope. It's by living lives in obedience to Jesus Christ. You can just leave that up for a little while. Living lives in obedience to Jesus Christ. The result of that is life. The result of that is that we can walk, even in those most difficult times, we can walk in hope. The result of making choices that are self-indulgent, the result of making choices that are sinful, the result of disobedience is death and despair. The despair because there's no life. There's no hope. Will you walk in hope? Will you live your life being obedient to Jesus Christ? We're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And as they're coming up here, getting ready for that, go ahead and stand up, and I want us to pray. I want to pray before we sing. And I want to give you 30 seconds. I want to give you 30 seconds or so to pick a name to pray for. That name doesn't have to be someone who's not a Christian. It doesn't have to be on the list of what you wrote down. That name could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be another a brother or sister, but somebody whom you know that is walking in despair. I want you to pray for them. To pray that God will help you to be a light in their life. That you won't hide it under a bushel, and that Satan won't snuff it out, but pray that God will use your light to bring them hope. Let's pray. Lord, for those of us who have friends who are living in despair right now, who are walking without hope, maybe they're trying to walk with you as some of my friends are, but are struggling and don't understand and can't see the hope that they have in you. Maybe maybe some of our friends that have been prayed for this afternoon, this morning, maybe they don't know you. They've not heard of you, and their despair is complete. Lord, for all of these people, help us to shine our light. Help us, strengthen us to be firm, to walk in your light. Help us to live lives in obedience to Jesus Christ so that we can firm up and strengthen, so that we can teach, so that we can witness to, so that we can help others walk in hope. Lord, may we, as a congregation, as individual Christians, may we be a beacon of hope for this generation, for our communities. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.